my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of a podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 134 of my 1-2-3 cents, the podcast. I have a special guest in the house, literally in the house. He is sleeping on my couch tonight, unless he wants to cuddle later in the bed. It's up to him. Just kidding. Chad Smart, though, is here. Chad, welcome back to Illinois.
Thanks. My allergies are welcoming me as well.
Probably less polluted than...
It's just more pollinated.
Yes, more pollinated than Southern California. So Chad is in town and is going to actually be at Money in the Bank next week, but he's also in town. He swung by the Stride Pro Wrestling Show. We're going to talk about both, actually, in this week's episode of My 1-2-3 Cents. So, Chad, again, welcome aboard. And this was your first opportunity to see a Stride Pro Wrestling Show live and in person.
Well, technically, it's my first Stride show in general because I only watched about... maybe 2 minutes of the first YouTube show. So I have not seen any Stride.
Oh, okay. I thought you'd watched more of it than that. So, yeah.
Attention span. I don't have
No attention span. But, yeah, Chad was part of came in for a Stride Pro Wrestling show with a fundraiser up in Mount Vernon. So we were out of our usual setting at the Illinois Star Center Mall, which we will be back July 8th. We'll talk more about that on future podcast as we get more of a match card built up for that. But give me your overall impressions. We won't necessarily go through and critique match by match, but what did you think? Because you've been to some indie shows. You've been to a lot of indie shows, actually. Yeah. You probably introduced me, actually, to the world of indie wrestling.
I think the best way to sum up this show is, at least for one night only, in Mount Vernon, kayfabe lives. No, it was a lot of fun. I had a good time at the show. Probably would have been better had I gotten more than 2 hours of sleep in the last day or so. But no, it was really fun. I think Stride has a solid talent base that they can use to grow. And the fans, I'd want to say this, and not in a condescending way or not in a negative way, but this show reminded me why I became a wrestling fan. You know, there were no "this is awesome" chants or chants by the crowd to try to get themselves over. This was just a crowd that bought into the wrestling that was presented to them and responded accordingly.
It's very reminiscent of, like you said, when we were kids. And, you know, I think you said your first wrestling show was in a high school gymnasium. You saw Harley Race and Ric Flair. So it was kind of like that throwback. Stride kind of reminds me of that, kind of that throwback where it's not indie-rific, if you will. You don't have the dive chance going on, like as Randy Orton might say, or Rip Rogers. So it is a fun and it's a family-friendly environment, obviously. And speaking of Randy Orton, his dad, Bob Orton, stepped through the ropes and got in there and wrestled.
Yeah, I mean, this was the first time seeing Bob wrestle in... when did we see him?
Saw him in like 2005, was, at Muggsy McGuire's in Carbondale, which is no longer there. And it was funny because Bob was... he's blind as a bat, apparently, because I had brought my LJN, the little card that came on the back of the LJN figures. I brought that for Bob Orton to sign. And I remember he looked at it and he didn't know what it was or who was on the card. And I'm like, "That's you. It's my LJN card." And he signed it. Tonight, I tried to get a picture with him. I didn't want to appear. It's a slippery slope. Nah, it's not really a slippery slope, but I never am sure how to respond when the legends come in or these special guests come in and do shows with us, because I don't want to appear like over markish or like a fanboy or whatever. So I casually asked him if we could take a picture. He said yes, and at the same time they had asked him to come to the ring to do a picture with the group that they were there raising money for. Obviously they took precedence, and long story short, I did not get a picture with Cowboy Bob, which I'm fine with. But that was 12 years ago that we saw him. And you know, he's still getting in there at age 67 or almost 67. He's still getting in there and putting up the good fight.
Yeah, I mean, to Bob's credit, at the Muggsy show, though, I do believe it was a darker environment because it was a bar.
That's true.
But yeah, I was surprised with how much Cowboy Bob did in his match, teaming with Billy Hills against
Maximum Overdrive.
Yeah. But yeah, I thought he actually, again, taking into account his age and whatnot, he looked good. I would not, if he was going to be on a show in your area, I would probably say, like, go check it out. I've seen a lot worse from younger guys.
Yeah, and Cowboy Bob does still wrestle usually in the St. Louis area or nearby. You know, Mount Vernon was only about an hour drive, I guess, for he and Herb Simmons, and we thank Herb Simmons for bringing him down. I was going to ask you this in the car on the way back down here tonight. I find it funny, I don't know if it's funny is the right word, but when the legends come in, you know, Cowboy Bob Orton, I don't ever remember him working as a babyface. And Honky Tonk Man, same deal. When he first came into WWF, he was a baby, obviously. But Honky Tonk did a benefit show back in October of last year in Harrisburg, Illinois. It might have been December, but anyway, he came into town and he worked as a good guy. But Cowboy Bob tonight teamed with Farmer Billy Hills and was a good guy. The last time he worked Stride, he came in as a good guy. So it's funny to me, like, is that kind of an unwritten rule, do you think, when these legends come in, that they come in and work as good guys? Or do you think, they don't know what else to do, so they just put them in because they know they'll probably get a pop because it's a legend?
Yeah, I had that same thought at one point during the match, and I can't remember what my thought process was, but it was something where I wanted Bob to do something specific, but it would have been a heel move, so he wasn't going to do it. But I mean, you see the same thing in when WWE brings in guys back, like Ted DiBiase, the Iron Sheik, you know, all these guys that show up. And I think it's the legend pop, the remembrance of these people from the past, and so everybody's going to be. I don't know. I mean, Roddy Piper, the same way Ric Flair.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know who the last legend to come in and be treated like a heel.
So do you think that there's a possibility one day you will cheer Randy Orton?
No, because he would have to change up his... I don't boo him because he's a heel. I boo him because I find him... none watchable.
And we're going to talk more about Randy Orton in just a few minutes. What are your thoughts? You know, you mentioned that this is really the first you've watched it. Now, you know some of the guys because you knew Heath Hatton, for example, from AAPW, right. Farmer Billy Hills.
Who hopefully, thankfully, I don't think remembered me from when I screwed him over, my one refereeing.
Yeah, he might have killed you at Steak and Shake. We ran into to Farmer and Sarah Summers at Steak and Shake after the show, but you knew some of these guys, but there's a lot of young talent on the show, and I think that they are still developing and still getting to that spot, because for many of these guys, they're still in their first year, maybe 18 months in the business, and you know, there's a lot of promise. Axe Allward, for example, too, is one of those guys from AAPW that you remember.
Yeah, I like Axe. I think he is a guy, and I don't want to sound like a negative comment. I don't intend this way, but I don't think I'll ever see Axe in WWE per se, but I could easily see Axe in Impact or a bigger indie promotion.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's got the tools to be a decent, you know, second tier indie star.
Absolutely. Axe is, probably breaking rules here, but yeah, he is one of my favorites. I've always liked Axe Allward, and his character just continues to develop and get better. And he and Scott Phoenix make a great tag team. They're great tag team champions, and of course, with Jay Wellington Beauregard as their manager, Axe just knows how to push those buttons as a heel and really get something out of his opponents as well. Because, you know, he's been in there in the last couple of weeks. A lot of cowboys in his life. He was in there with Cowboy James Storm a few weeks ago, and now with Cowboy Bob Orton. But yeah, Axe is one of those guys that gets it, and I think with Scott teaming with him, he's going to learn a lot and hopefully continue to develop and nurture and grow as a professional wrestler. Because that's the thing about Stride is the school, as we've mentioned, and you know, the DR Party, for example, three guys who do a great job together. They don't win a whole lot, but they work. I like this three or this threesome, this trio, and Dexter Roswell. He is developing and coming a long way with his mic skills, and I just enjoy the DR Party a lot as well.
Yeah, I was gonna say real quick, just running down the guys names I can remember, and this is not a slight on anyone else, but I think Red Daniels. I know he's new. I remember when he was on the show and talking. I think he's got the potential to evolve into something really good. Is Chris Hargis the champion? Or
no, Chris Hargis is the – he was in the opening match. Okay. He is the SICW champion. Okay.
I thought he had a lot of presence and was really good. You mentioned the DR Party. I like the gimmick. I like those guys. I think, you know, they're just missing one little piece that can bring it together even more. Let's see, who else can I think of?
You know, Roger Mathis, you asked who the champion was. Roger Mathis is the champion. And, you know, he is just like, I can't put into words. He is such an intimidating force inside and outside of that ring. And it's kind of like a bull in a china shop sometimes.
I think to me, he had too much of a similar look to Killian Dane, I believe is the name, also known as, I believe, Big Damo, who is part of Sanity in NXT.
Oh, okay.
That was what I thought of when I first saw him.
Oh, okay.
So, and that's not necessarily a negative thing. It's right. Just what my mind go to. But yeah, he was impressive as well. So yeah, I think, as I mentioned earlier, Stride has the talent base to put on good shows, and hopefully if, you know, the booking can come up with some good stories and keep things interesting, especially now with the shows being on YouTube, so people who can't make it to the monthly show or miss one can follow the action, because that's always been the biggest problem with indie wrestling is if you're going to do storytelling, you have to have a way to follow it.
Yeah.
Or you have to just be an indie that just throws talented wrestlers in there and lets them go, which is what Ring of Honor started out as. It's what PWG does now. But those are that's the type of indie wrestling that I think is a little oversaturated, because that's a lot of indie wrestling right now. And it's using the advantage Stride has is not using the same guys that these promotions are using.
Yeah.
So you get fresher matchups. And I think, too, like, I mean, there's the match Tony Flood versus T-Dog, which I mean, we just have to talk about this match, because this was probably the highlight of the night. In the ending of the match, I mean, from the moment the opening music hit, the crowd was really into this. And I think it's the story that's being told that fans of Stride who've been following it for the last few months really know. But, I mean, this had probably nuclear heat.
Yes.
Nuclear heat from the get-go, like everything. I didn't like Alexa Flood's involvement, because it was too obvious. Like, the referee, she kept interfering right in front of the referee.
Right.
And there was no disqualification, or the referee should have thrown her out of the match way. I mean, he never did. Like, after the second time, she should have been gone.
Yeah.
So I think there could have been used, her interference should have been more subtle, or, you know,
behind
the referee's back. And the ending was straight out of 1982. You know, the heel uses a foreign weapon, babyface comes back, makes the pin, heel plants the weapon on the baby face. Referee sees it, overturns the outcome. Heel keeps the title.
Yeah. It was beautifully done.
It was, yeah, I did not see Tony Flood put the chain in.
I didn't either. And I was right, you know, I was very near the ring.
Yeah. But I mean, there, as soon as it happened and as soon as the crowd realized what was happening, that place went, as Pat Patterson would say, since we're going to rip off, if Kevin's going to rip off gimmicks, so let's rip off, although I can't do the impersonation, but that place went banana.
The place went banana. They were yelling and screaming. It was crazy. Yes, and I'm ripping off Bruce Pritchard.
But I mean, it was the best part about it was I was setting off by myself because I was just kind of, I wanted to take in the show, not so much as a fan, but as an objective person.
Sure.
To watch it. And there's this one older gentleman who talked to me before the show about Cowboy Bob Orton, and can't believe he was still wrestling. But as soon as he realized what was going on, he got irate.
Yes.
And we were setting up in the bleachers. He went down to confront you.
Yes. I don't know.
And this guy was like, you know, didn't you see that? He planted that. I mean, he was just like, he wanted that decision overturned.
And he was poking me in the chest, which I'm like, dude, I thought he was going to assault me. I thought Tony Flood hadn't come out of the ring yet. I thought Tony Flood was going to be assaulted.
Yeah, I thought because where the guy was standing, it was right by where the wrestler was going to leave. I thought if he sees Tony Flood, he's going to attack him. Like, and I'm like, this is straight out of, you know, 70s, 80s wrestling. And it was just so perfect. I remember, I mean, I kept looking at you, and I think you were looking at me, and we were just laughing about it because it's so, you don't get those reactions anymore.
Yeah.
And it was perfect. And I don't know what they can do next, but man, I hope I'm assuming T-Dog will get some type of rematch, and I hope maybe he should bring this old man in as his enforcer to counter the Alexa Flood.
Yeah, well, not only was there that guy, I went to the bathroom because that was right before
intermission. Did you wash your hands, Johnny Gargano?
Yes, I did. I went into the bathroom, and before I even got in there, another older gentleman stopped me and said, "You've got to go back there and tell that referee that this is not right. That Tony Flood, he planted that chain in Jerry's tights, and you know, that's not right, and you've got to get that overturned, and he deserves that championship." And, you know, I said, "I will talk to the referee. I will talk to Tony Flood. I will, you know, I'll see what I can do." You know, wink, nod, nod. It's part, you know, this guy was livid, and it dawned on me. I'm like, these are grown men who are livid. I can't imagine. I mean, some of the kids, you know, they were mad too. But, yeah, Tony Flood is one of those guys who is a heat magnet, and people just boo the hell out of him. And that was the other thing I thought of too, is like, why do people hate Canada? Why do wrestling fans hate Canada so much? And I know you're biased, you don't like Canada either, but Dino Bravo, Lance Storm, Test,
Bret Hart,
you know, what's the beef with Canada? I thought Canada was our
Jinder
friend.
Mahal. We'll get to that later.
Yeah, we'll get to Jinder in a little bit, but yeah, it was a fun night, and yes, the reactions, always a good time too. So how would you compare, I know you kind of mentioned it at the beginning, but how would you, you know, a show like this, and obviously, you know, we don't have the star power that a PWG has, but just from environment-wise or ambiance, you know, when you are watching, what do you think?
Well, and this is my personal preference, is if I had a choice between a Stride show and a PWG show, I would pick the Stride show.
Mm.
But then I also pick Chikara over other promotions because I like the family friendly atmosphere. I think it makes for a better environment than just having, you know, obscenities yelled out nonstop or people in the ring cutting promos just laced with profanity. Yeah. But the other thing is, it wasn't a indie show like you would expect. There weren't, you know, 57 finishing moves in a match. There weren't other, I mean, Tony Flood and T-Dog kind of went back and forth, but that was the only one on the show. And I do think it was a little overworked. Like, a little too much what they did, but it was just a decent and the main event as well. I think the point when it got to where the main event was a fatal four-way, and it got to where like Heath Hatton did his finishing move on all three guys, and then everybody kicked out, and then the next guy did his finishing move on all three, and that was a little too much in my opinion. But I think overall it was a fun time, and I would definitely check out another show. And I think one of the other advantages, maybe not advantage, but positives of the show is, other than having a 2-hour raffle drawing segment, this show was about 2.5 hours long. Like, I think a lot of times indie shows kind of overstay their welcome.
Yeah.
And I think a tight 2.5 hour show is the best way to go.
And last question about Stride. Have you ever seen a more handsome and over ring announcer?
You know, I am surprised that your suits are as popular as they are, even though I had your gimmick infringing myself and Tom Harness on the suits. But no, I'm impressed with your popularity amongst the fans.
They want me to wrestle again too.
That makes sense, because I think they all want to see you get your ass kicked.
That's exactly what would happen. Well, that is kind of our Stride review, but now we're going to talk more about Money in the Bank. Stride again, of course, July 8th. Be sure to stick around on Facebook, and of course I will have somebody, once I know the card, I'll have somebody on the show here to talk about and promote that as well.
Oh, and real quick, I am still going to say, and I don't know why you don't do this, when you come out to the ring at the very beginning, you should come out to Ain't Nothing Gonna Brick in My Stride.
That's not a bad idea. I might have to do that. I'll have the sound guy add that on. So Money in the Bank coming up. Right now, I'm on WWE.com, and as we record this late Saturday night, early Sunday morning, the week before the show, 4 matches have been announced so far. The Usos are defending the WWE Tag Team Championships, or the SmackDown Championships, against The New Day. The New Day, this will be their first SmackDown match, yes?
I believe so.
Okay, because I have not watched the past week of SmackDown. No, so
you don't know what day one is H?
No. What is that? Day one is H.
You need to catch up on your Fashion Police.
Oh, Fashion Police.
Yes. I believe the Usos have their shirts say day one-ish. I don't even know what that means, but Tyler Breeze reads it as day one is H.
Gotcha. So the Usos defend against the New Day. We talked about this on the car ride up briefly to Mount Vernon. I think New Day will come back, and they've got to be the ones to beat the Usos. I thought maybe Breeze Dango might. American Alpha is seemingly gone. I think it's time for a title change, and I like the New Day. I think there's still opportunities to market these guys and make money off of them. And while I don't think they need the championships, I certainly wouldn't mind them once again being the tag team champions.
Well, I wonder, is the lineage of the SmackDown tag team champions, does it go back to when there were 2 sets of champions before?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Because if it does, I don't know what the record is for longest SmackDown reigning champion. So could New Day win and become the longest reigning SmackDown champions to go along with their longest reigning WWE title? And how long is that reign, which would probably be information that would be relevant to this discussion that we could have discussed earlier so that we had it available. I don't know. You know, I think New Day needs a change of scenery. I think if you want to keep Kofi and Xavier together as a tag team, I think Big E needs to go out on his own. Or Kofi or
Xavier. Send somebody out on their own.
You know, break them up a little bit so that you kind of get something new out of them. Because this is their first match on SmackDown, I could see them winning the title. But I'm going to pick if we're doing predictions, I would pick the Usos to win after some nefarious means, mainly just to keep the feud going into the next pay-per-view, because there has to always be at least 2 or 3 matches.
That's true. 50-50. And we did mention that we are going to be in attendance at Money in the Bank, and I'm excited about it. And one of the things I'm excited about is the very first women's Money in the Bank ladder match. They've never done this before. We have talked on an former Ask My 123 Cents episode. I was asked about the likelihood of a women's Royal Rumble. I think we've talked about a women's Royal Rumble before. And it's interesting because we finally got a women's Hell in a Cell with Charlotte and Sasha back in the fall. And a lot of people talked about that. I think a lot of people are going to be talking about this ladder match because, and correct, help me here, because I don't know for sure. Have there been women's ladder matches in WWE in the past? Is this the first ladder match as well? Or is this just the first Money in the Bank ladder match?
Did Sasha and Charlotte have a ladder match?
I'm going to throw it in my Google machine, as Conrad Thompson would say. Yeah, has there been a women's ladder match in WWE? All right, Google machine, work your wonders here.
Yeah, I'm curious to see, one, how this stacks up against the men's match.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, because there's a couple things to consider here. Mm-hmm. Now that we do have brand splits again, and they're obviously not doing a, in the past, few years ago, before they consolidated everybody, it was two different brands, Raw and SmackDown, mm-hmm. were doing the ladder matches for the Money in the Bank. Will that be a factor, do you think? Did they add a match to this because it is Money in the Bank, after all, that's the name of the pay-per-view, and to have more than just one ladder match in it? You know what I'm saying? I really made that a long-winded question.
Yeah, I'm not sure I follow you. I think they did it because they're trying to make the women equal to the men's divisions.
Yeah,
so okay. It makes sense to do a women. And I think the intrigue of doing a women's Money in the Bank match is going to probably get more fans interested in the show,
mm-hmm.
just to see what type of stuff they do. And, in a typical ladder match, there are so many spots that look ridiculously painful and, shall I say, stupid amongst the guys, because they're just, crashing through ladders, hitting things. But they have, you're talking about guys that are 200 pounds plus. And now you have women who, are below that weight. Like, they're not going to be able, I don't think, to crash through a ladder, to, do a dive from the top of a ladder and go put someone through a ladder. So what are they going to be able to do? Or are they going to try something that insane? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I guess what I was getting at is, if we were still under one umbrella, uh-huh. and all the talent uh-huh. was on the same show, do you think there would still be, would there be a third Money mm-hmm. in the Bank ladder match for the women? Because we would have a SmackDown champion.
Yeah.
Well, I guess if everybody was under the same umbrella, it wouldn't matter. Yeah. So yeah. Anyway, I've digressed.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, when will they do the first tag team Money in the Bank?
I like that idea. And I think we've talked about that before as well. But I'm not finding any history of a ladder match with the women. If we're wrong, oh wait, here we go. TLC 2015, Tables, Ladders, and Chairs, Charlotte versus Paige. Who's Paige? This is 2K16. Okay, these people with the video games. Okay, anyway, if we're wrong, tweet us, let us know, at my123cents, at Chad Smart, or at Kevin Huntsperger. And let us know. But who do you have a winner? Do you have somebody you want to pick?
I'm going out on a limb. I'm going to say Carmella.
I agree. And kind of give your reasons why you think.
One, I don't think Tamina Snuka is ever going to do anything in WWE, and that's a knock more on the booking than it is on her.
Mm-hmm.
Charlotte is already a 19-time women's champion, so she doesn't need the title. Natalya is another one that booking doesn't seem to want to actually do anything with. Becky Lynch is falling into the trap of being Becky Lynch. She's just kind of there.
She's kind of like a female Dolph Ziggler.
There you go. Good analogy. I was trying to think of someone to compare her to. And I think Carmella has, especially with James Ellsworth as kind of like a mouthpiece.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think she could do something with being Miss Money in the Bank.
So,
and she can bling it out because, you know, it would fit her.
There you gimmick. Go. And I'll wait. I'll save this question for the last match. Randy Orton tries to regain his. And I agree with everything you said about Carmella, by the way. At first, if you would have asked me 6 months ago, I would have said no way. But it just feels like that may be the direction that they're heading in with her. Randy Orton going up for the championship. He is going to get a rematch in his hometown, which we never usually bet against Orton. But facing Jinder Mahal in his hometown. It's almost a recipe for disaster. Usually when you're in your hometown,
you lose.
Yeah. It's curious to see what they're going to do long term. And with John Cena returning next month, you know, do they keep the belt on Jinder and set up a feud with Cena, or does Orton regain the championship and then someone, and this is the question I was going to ask, someone cash in and take the championship that night. And that was one of the other things we were talking about before we pick a winner for the ladder match. It's like, okay, well, it's going to kind of depend on what happens with the championship match.
Yeah, I like the idea of Jinder Mahal being champion.
Uh-huh.
I think it came out of nowhere, and I think booking could have done a better job of preparing him, at least to give him some momentum. And it just reeks of last-minute decision to give him the title, especially since his personalized plates are just his name. Like he has no gimmick or symbol to go along with him. I don't bet on guys in their hometown, although Randy Orton would probably be the one guy to make me unhappy that he's going to win. I think Jinder will win, but I think whoever this is where it gets tricky, because I think, as you said, the winner of this match dictates who wins Money in the Bank.
But I don't think it necessarily in the past, because, and I guess I could have done some more research before we started this, but I think there has never been like a correlation between who's the champion, unless they're doing a cash-in that night. What are your thoughts on a night of cash-in? Do you like when that happens? I think it's only happened once or twice before. Dean Ambrose, obviously the most famous one, and I think Kane cashed in against Rey Mysterio, right?
Yes.
So it's been done before. Does it have to happen again? And if it does it happen in the women's? Does it happen in the men's? Or does it happen in both? Or neither? Because the rumor now is Naomi will defend against Lana. Wow. That's not been confirmed as of the recording of this.
Yeah. I don't think it'll be the women's, just because because I'm going with Carmella to win.
Yeah.
So in my scenario, if she wins, I would rather her build up the character, like I said, the blinging out of the case, the having James Ellsworth hype her up and build up that character again, because Carmella is one kind of similar to Jinder, where she doesn't really have the momentum to cash in and win believably right now.
Sure.
Plus, I think they're going to use the statistics of, you know, only twice has a cash in failed. Even though a woman has never cashed in.
Right. Or,
you know. So, on the men's side, I think it would be... I think there are two possible winners in the men's ladder match that would conceivably cash in on the same night. And I'll get to those once we start talking about them.
Okay, later. So under our scenario right now, I think we both picked Jinder to retain the championship. Maybe not win the match, but at least retain the championship.
That's what I'm hoping on, yes.
Okay. So let's talk about I'm assuming, it's the big picture on the website, but that doesn't mean anything, I guess. But I'm hoping this match goes on last, but like you said, if there's going to be a cash in, you can't do it last. But yeah. I think we both have ruled out Shinsuke Nakamura because it doesn't fit his gimmick, if you will.
Yeah, I don't think him being Mr. Money in the Bank works as a character development, although it could turn him just from Japanese guy with crazy facial expressions into maybe an actual character. But then again, I also think Nakamura is Japanese for overrated.
Ooh, wow. That's at Chad Smart on Twitter, friends. I think we both agreed, too, that AJ is over enough, doesn't necessarily need a Money in the Bank briefcase to perhaps go on. And if he were to win the championship again, he wouldn't need that as a scenario.
Right.
Dolph Ziggler, as we mentioned, is the Becky Lynch of the male division, or however you want to look at that. I like Dolph. I still like Dolph, but I think that he is kind of, at this point, just going to be there.
To take a spot.
To take a spot, yes. Yeah. Absolutely. So that leaves us with Sami Zayn, Baron Corbin, and Kevin Owens.
Kevin Owens would be my Carmella equivalent to person who could do something with the case and make it
a long-term
thing.
Mm-hmm.
Especially since he is the U.S. champion right now.
Mm-hmm.
He could keep teasing, unifying, the, you know, being a double champion.
I agree. I would hope that he's the one to win, but there's this gnawing, aching pain that I have that it's going to be Baron Corbin. I wrote a blog over at My123Cents called "I Hope That ABC Wins." That's anyone but Corbin. I just have not bought into this character. I don't mean to slam the guy by any means, but I just have not bought into him at all.
Yeah, and looking at this photo on WWE.com, I am really surprised, given their penchant for photoshopping, that they have not given him a thicker hairline. you know, they touched up Goldberg's beard, so it wasn't gray. So give Baron Corbin some hair.
Throw some hair in there.
At least they don't have. They're not showing sad belly button.
Give him some of Shinsuke's hair that's hanging in his face.
There. But Corbin, actually, I could see him doing something with the briefcase as well, just being the guy who wants to constantly remind you that he is Mr. Money in the Bank. But I buy him as a believable champion yet. There's a lot, in my opinion, there's a lot missing from him as a total package. And not that that's not a Lex Luger cosplay gimmick, but he is just mid-card guy number 12
mm-hmm.
on your video game that you would see.
So the underdog kind of here is Sami Zayn. And what are your thoughts? I really didn't consider him until we talked on the way to mm-hmm. Mount Vernon, and now you've got my wheels turning that Sami Zayn may not be a bad pick.
Not a bad pick. And going back to what I was saying earlier, the two guys that I could see doing instant cash-ins are Sami Zayn and Baron Corbin.
Mm-hmm.
Corbin, just because I think that would fit his persona actually more to be like, okay, I've got this, I'm going to use it right now. And Sammy, I think, would have that, I want to prove to you that I am a champion. Sami Zayn, I think, though, is quickly kind of moving into Dolph Ziggler territory, where he's the guy that's not going to really be pushed. He's kind of like an Owen Hart type guy, where you can count on him to have a good match, but his ceiling is going to be the guy that has a good match.
Yeah. So, if Randy Orton were to regain the championship, that's putting him in really close territory to Flair and Cena, isn't it?
I think that would be 13 or 14.
Okay. As long as we're not tying, I don't want to see that happen. I guess as of this recording, we still really are kind of indecisive on who we think is going to win. I'll go with who I want to win, and I'm going to stick with Kevin Owens on that.
Yeah.
I would love to see him win it. I know, you know, not everybody is on the Kevin Owens bandwagon, if you will, but he would be my pick. Again, Baron Corbin, my last pick as who I would want to see win. Let me ask you this, too. As we were talking about Baron Corbin, it reminded me of the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Mojo Rawley is the winner from this past WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. As of right now, not anywhere on the Money in the Bank card, not even to mention that he's not in the ladder match itself. Is the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal just a place filler to get everybody on WrestleMania's card, or does winning that mean anything? Because really, I guess Baron Corbin is really the only success story out of that so far.
So far, yeah.
Because, well, I guess Cesaro, it would be unfair to say that he's not, but I don't think he's had any singles championships since winning. He's been tag team champion a couple of times.
Yeah, Corbin is the one that has had the most consistent push, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Battle Royal itself is just a way to get everybody onto the show, especially now that WrestleMania is 10 hours long.
Mm-hmm. It's
something to do. But, yeah, I for this match, I'm going with Kevin Owens to win. Though, now my question is, between Sami Zayn, AJ Styles, and Dolph Ziggler, who's going to have the dumbest move of the night with the ladders? By that, I mean, who's going to do the craziest bump, the most frightening,
please don't hurt yourself. I'm going with Sami, and I think that will take Sami out of the match, or at least incapacitate him for a while.
And have you seen any of Sami Zayn, well, have you seen any of the ROH matches between Kevin Steen and a guy who was similar in stature to Sami Zayn? By the name of El Generico.
Did they? They didn't wrestle when we saw them in Chicago, did they?
I do not think so.
I think it was.
But
Sammy
they've had ladder matches in.
Yeah.
In ROH.
Yeah.
Kevin Steen package pile drove El Generico onto a elevated ladder. I believe for the victory, and there was a lot of crazy. So you have two guys who have a history. What I'm getting at is you have two guys who have a history of doing crazy things in ladder matches, and then you throw in two other guys who have a history of wanting to make sure that no one tops them in the crazy move, and then you have Shinsuke Nakamura, who just does things very snug and tight. So what is the probability of somebody walking out of this match not walking out of this match?
It'll be interesting to see. Yeah, it's going to be one of those things where you kind of watch a little nervously, I think. Hopefully everyone comes out unscathed and unhurt. But yeah, there is a real risk in these types of matches and for the women as well. So we will definitely be watching. Be sure, if you see us up there at St. Louis, in St. Louis, give us a shout out. I'm also going to be at the Something to Wrestle With Bruce Pritchard podcast. Looking forward to that. It's a couple of hours before Money in the Bank kicks off. So if you're going to that, look me up. Right now I'm going solo. So holler at me and let me know what's on your mind. Chad, let's wrap things up here. I know you have Positive Cynicism. It's the other one of the other podcasts here on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. Anything, what you cooking, what you got going on in the next couple of weeks?
If my plans over this next week to do the interviews that I have arranged, we're going to add various topics, including looking at college and is college worthwhile? Do we put too much pressure on people to go to college these days? What is the status? Reality television or television in general, is it a negative influence in the overreaching negativity of society, and the 80s. Why are they the greatest movies the greatest decade when it comes to movies? Two words,
like
the apple.
Oh, jeez. Check out Positive Cynicism. Episode 11 is my favorite by far. So be sure. I think that's the one I'm on, right?
I believe so. Oh, and I want to say I'm still putting this together, but Kevin's not the only one who can gimmick and fringe around here. This is something I've been thinking of for the past couple of years. I have finally started, because of having Positive Cynicism, want to get it out there. Starting July 1st, I want to do, over the next year, the 36-day challenge, which will be 10 different personal challenges every 36 days. The first one is going to be spreading positivity, doing something, an act of random act of kindness for somebody. So there'll be more about that in the coming weeks.
All right. I like that. I like that a lot. So again, everyone, thanks for listening and sharing my 1-2-3 cents, the podcast, the blog, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Be sure to check it out, all those social media platforms. And thanks for the support as well with Stride Pro Wrestling. We will be back again next week. Be sure to check us out. Come find us at Money in the Bank as well. Have a great week, everyone.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.